And welcome to Rod Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo, joined by my new co-host, Mandy. Hey, Mandy.
Hi, Yo. How are you?
I'm well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. We're kind of two weeks into it now.
What is today?
Today is the 10th.
Today's the 10th? 11th? Yeah, we're almost 2 weeks in.
Yeah. Well, happy late New Year, then.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that first long week back from all the holidays kind of threw me off.
Yeah, it was weird actually working for 5 days.
I was used to,
because I took, a couple days off for Christmas, and then, that New Year's I had taken off half the week and gone to Arizona, so actually working more than 2 days during a work week kind of felt weird to me.
You should have saved your trip to Arizona for this week.
Why?
What do you mean, why? NFL playoffs. Cardinals win.
Yo,
Eagles won.
No idea what you're talking about.
Home field for the Cardinals, and the first time since the Hoover
Football
administration.
Is not my forte.
Okay, well, that's one thing that we've learned new about Mandy as she joins us here on Rod Talk. And Mandy's going to be our co-host all throughout 2009 and hopefully long beyond that, as we just wanted to kind of change the show up just a little bit and have someone, help keep me in check. So that's your main job,
I will do my best.
All right. Well, I'm counting on you to do that. And seeing as how this is our first new show together, I figured we should get some video of us doing this. So when people tune into the website tomorrow, they can see a little daily vid of you and I doing Rod Talk together.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
And as I said earlier, we were filming and I said you could go and watch Rod Talk, which, to my surprise, you can't watch radio.
No,
funny
you can't.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, no, no. No watching radio.
I'm smart, everybody. Aren't you excited I'm on the show?
Well, it's good that people can't watch radio because, as you pointed out, I have a face for radio.
I pointed out that to me, too.
Okay.
You're going to make me sound like the
music. All right. Well, no, I wouldn't do that to you. But I'm going to put the video down so people are going to have to just listen to the Rod Talk podcast if they want to see this whole show. Sorry, video people. I'm turning you off now. And as for tonight's show, since we're just getting started with the new year, I didn't want to do anything too intense to start off the year. So I figured, why not talk about New Year's resolutions? However, that could get rather intense because I know a lot of people have strong feelings about some people have strong feelings about New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of keeping an open ear as I was going through the office this week.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to think I'm an eavesdropper now, but I'm really not. I was doing research for the show.
That's what we like to call it nowadays. Everybody, it is research.
That's
you just
right.
Tell everybody that.
Anyway, I was just paying more attention than usual to what my fellow coworkers were saying. It was interesting to hear how much that question came up.
Uh-huh.
Did you make any resolutions this year? Really? What did you, and that conversation was very common this week. And I thought that was kind of interesting that so many people. It's just like habit,
We
don't even.
Right.
It's like
ask.
Second nature.
You ask.
Right.
It's New Year comes along. What comes with the New Year? New Year's resolutions. Even the website I noticed had all the DJs and their New Year's resolutions in video form.
Yeah,
and that
we
was
did.
Interesting to watch, to say the least.
Well, some of them were a little bit more poignant than others, I think. Than some of them, I don't know how serious they were. But New Year's resolutions is an annual tradition for whatever reason. It's ingrained in our culture, and being this is Raw Talk, we like to kind of deconstruct things and ask why. Why is it this way? Exactly. It's always been one of my favorite habits to do. So, what we want to know though is what do you guys think about New Year's resolutions? How do you feel about that? Is it a good idea? Bad idea? That's basically the question we're asking tonight. Good idea? Bad idea? Are New Year's resolutions, especially for Christians, a good idea or a bad idea? And then you're going to have to tell us why.
And
so
why,
give us a call, 505-338-5790. We want to hear what you think about that. Good idea, bad idea? Maybe, share your New Year's resolution because we might be able to help you stay accountable to keeping that. The more people you tell, the more likely you might be to be successful in your New Year's resolution. So 505-338-5790. The funny thing is about New Year's resolutions, I don't know if you've noticed this talking to people, people really don't have an expectation of keeping a resolution.
No, well, it's kind of something that's just known.
Right.
It's okay. New Year's comes along, you make a New Year's resolution. What comes right after that?
Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
Not exactly.
That's on my calendar because my New Year's resolution. I'm going to eat less chocolate.
Speaking of calendar.
Yeah. 6 weeks
but that,
later.
That makes a good point. Yeah. Is things come up more often than not, these New Year's resolutions by that title get broken, and it's just an expectation. That's just what happens. So that is very interesting how that all kind of plays out.
Yeah, I was reading that 52% of people go into a resolution saying, I am so going to succeed with this. Mm-hmm. Want to take a guess at what the actual success rate is?
I'm going to say 5%.
That's pretty close, actually. It was actually 12%. 12% actually achieved their goal, and this should give lots of fodder for conflict. Men achieved their goal 22% more often than women, who succeeded 10%. But women succeeded more often when they made their goals public and got support from their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was very interesting how it broke down gender-wise.
Well, and it makes you wonder, though, what are the resolutions that they're making? Because personally, and I'm not going to overgeneralize and say most women or anything like that, but I know that...
You just did, though.
Well, let me... What happens, what I hear most of the time, from women at least, is it usually has something to do with weight or having a better diet or working out more. And like you said, when we get support for those things, I see it working together more because you have people asking you, how are you doing with this? Were you able to succeed? What are your next goals? I don't talk to a lot of men about what their New Year's resolutions is, but it makes you wonder, is it gender or is it the actual resolutions that are made? Because I tend to hear more, I wouldn't say practical, but just a different variety of resolutions that come from guys as opposed to what come from girls.
Well, we'd be curious to hear what you guys have for your resolutions and whether or not you think it's a good idea or a bad idea to make resolutions. So give us a call on 505-338-5790, especially if you hear us as we're chatting together, something that you agree or don't agree with. You know, let us know. That's the whole reason we have Raw Talk, so you guys can talk this out. We want to challenge you to think about things for yourself. One of my favorite questions is why. I never grew out of that phase.
Mm-mm, definitely not.
It's a good question to ask. We have Alexis on the line. Alexis, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Alexis?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I think that I personally didn't make any New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that anyone who wants to better themselves is a good idea, as long as they're doing it for the right reasons. Like what they were saying, you know, girls want to lose weight. If a girl wants to lose weight, you know, Christ is not going to want you to lose weight by not eating anything or, you know, by exercising to the point where you pass out, you know, or he wants you to do it to glorify him and to be healthy, you know, and any resolution like that, that I would think that as long as it glorifies God and it brings you closer, you know, I think that's a good idea if you're trying to better who you are as a person for yourself, for God, and then for others.
Is there any particular reason, Alexis, that you didn't personally make any resolutions?
I'm sorry?
Is there any particular reason that you didn't make resolutions?
Honestly, just because I was too busy. I didn't have time to take my, I have two kids, and I just started a new job, so I just didn't even have time. But if I was going to say, you know, make a New Year's resolution, I'd probably say read the Bible more than I do.
That's a good one.
Well, you know, the one thing I've been asking this year a lot when people make any sort of resolution, not that I'm saying that you just officially did, I'm marking that down, but, you know, okay, so say you want to read the Bible more. Now, here's my question, because I don't think a lot of people follow through with this. Do you have a plan in place that could actually help you do that and be successful at it?
Mm-hmm. Actually, yes. Like I said, that wasn't my New Year's resolution, but I went to this one website. I don't remember what it's called, but you type in the day that you went to the website, and then they print out, or you can print out a Bible study. You can read the entire Bible in 1 year.
Very cool.
And so I have that hanging on my wall, so that way when I go to sleep at night, I can read the scripture that I'm supposed to read for that day. So, I mean, yeah, I that's something that I wanted to do. I just didn't classify it as New Year's resolution.
Well, it still sounds like a good thing to do, and I like the fact that you actually have some sort of plan of action to actually do it. So the best to you in the new year, and have fun going through the Bible in 1 year.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right.
Bless you too, Alexis.
Alexis calling in. If you'd like to call in and share your resolution or whether or not you think resolutions are a good idea or a bad idea, especially for us as Christians, because I know some people have some strong opinions about whether or not Christians should do this type of thing, and we'll get into that more here in a moment. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to chime in on this topic of New Year's resolution. What is yours? Why did you make it? Or why didn't you make one? 505-338-5790. And I think that's the number one reason why people don't succeed at stuff, Mandy, when they make, especially New Year's resolutions. They say, I'm going to do this.
Well, they don't have a plan of action. A lot of people, I mean, it's one thing to say that you're going to do something and another thing to actually follow through and find accountability. And that's just with any commitment that you make, any goal that you set. If you don't have people there who are like-minded to back you up in it, or if you don't have a way to seek out that goal, then most of the time you're going to fail. And that's just how it works. And I think Alexis brought up a good point about the reasons why people make these New Year's resolutions, because I was thinking about that driving down here. And the first thing that came to mind is when people make a goal and they try as hard as they can in their own strength to make it happen. And I see these failures when that happens because they're relying on their strength. And a lot of times that has to do with things, whether it's reading scripture more or being a better person in one way or another, not falling into a temptation or anything like that, is that there's no way for them to do it by themselves. They have to seek out God's strength and lean on Him, because in our own strength, we become failures, and a lot of times our goals become at times our idols, you know?
That's a good point. And actually, two things occurred to me. One, the same goes for when we want to stop doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Very often we say we're going to stop doing something, but we don't really have anything to put in that place.
Right.
And you've all heard the cliche, nature abhors a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's true. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried it, but like, I'm not going to do this. And then you just sit there and try and think about not doing
something else. And
you're thinking about the thing that you're trying not to do.
Exactly.
And eventually you're going to fall into it, because that's all you're thinking about.
Right.
Not
going to
do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Just once. You know, it doesn't take long.
Right.
And then, you know, the other thing I was thinking of, I completely forgot. I don't know why I completely forgot it, but I did. So never mind.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that happens. One of my resolutions is going to try and be more retained when it comes to my memory.
Do you have a plan of action for that?
I don't. I need one.
Well,
I know.
Let's think this through.
Yeah, I'll have to work on that. But, you know, we'd like to hear your opinion on not necessarily my memory, but resolutions and whether or not you made any, why or why not. Good idea or bad idea for Christians to make resolutions? 505-338-5790.
And right now we actually have Kim on the line. So, Kim, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I just want to welcome you as our new host. That's wonderful. I'm excited.
Everybody,
for you.
This is Kim, my mom.
Aww. Hi, Mandy's mom.
Hello. I have a lot to say about resolutions because I start a new resolution every day.
Well, all right. Well, let's hear all 365 of them.
I think that waiting until the new year is just kind of saying, well, okay, I was a failure last year, so I'm going to start again this year because I failed last year. And I think if you're going to do something, you just need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to wait for a special date, or it's kind of like starting a diet. I'll start on Monday. Just do it. Just, you know, don't wait until the New Year's. And because I think the reason we make that New Year's resolution is because we look back at the last year and kind of go, okay, well, I still weigh what I weighed last January. I'm going to do it this year.
Right.
And it's just every day is a new resolution. Every day I get up and say, okay, today I'm going to read my Bible. Today I'm going to watch what I eat. Today I'm going to go for a walk. So that's kind of my opinion.
You know what? You just reminded me of the thing that I was thinking of that I forgot, but now I remember because you reminded me. So thank you very much, Mandy's mom.
Oh, you're welcome.
Was the whole giving up thing that you're absolutely right. People seem to have this attitude of it's like with the NFL playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the team loses, you think, oh, well, there's always next season.
Yeah.
And you're going to wait until next season to start over. And so many people, that's what they do when it comes to resolutions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to resolve to read my Bible every day for a year.
Right.
They miss a day. Like, man, I blew it. I didn't read my Bible.
Right.
Oh, well, I'll try again next year. And we just give up. You know, I'm going to resolve to pray more. Oh, I didn't pray. No, you know what? Forget it. I'll just try it again. And
right.
We just give, I'm going to tithe this year. And we don't tithe 1 week. Like, oh, I blew it. All right, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to try anymore. And that kind of mentality, I've never really understood when it comes to resolutions. I mean, okay, so you missed one day. Obviously, that's not going to help any if you completely give up on it then. I mean, that's not going to benefit you at all.
Right. Well, and unfortunately, a lot of times what I've seen, and actually, if you watch the videos online for the DJ's New Year's resolutions, I saw this happen. We have people who in our lives who will say, Well, you're supposed to start that on Monday, right? So you should do whatever you can in that time before you have to give that up or before you have to change yourself, which is very unfortunate because we look to certain people for accountability, and sadly, sometimes we don't get that. We get quite the opposite.
That's true. Yeah,
right.
Be it they don't like the holier-than-thou attitude that, oh, you're one-upping me, self.
Well, we're already experiencing that over here. We started the 90-day challenge, which the mid-school group over at Calvary is doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's reading the Bible in 90 days. And I have two boys in there, and, you know, they get behind one day, and you can see them just kind of going, I may as well give up.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I mean, we do. We have to hold each other accountable and say, no, you started this, you said this. And I think that's why women are better at holding their resolutions when they talk to each other, because that accountability, we're not going to let you give up, you know, and men kind of keep things to themselves.
They
try to do it on their own.
Yeah, we got to prove ourselves. I'm going to do this. I don't need your help.
I'm
too proud. My resolution is to not be too proud. Don't help me with it. I'm too proud.
And we women, we're not proud at all.
You guys help balance us out. Well, Mandy's mom, thank you so much for calling in and sharing some sage advice.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
All right. Have a good evening. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to jump in on this conversation as we talk about New Year's resolutions. Good idea, bad idea? Did you make one? Why did you make it? Why haven't you made one? Let us know. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to join in on this conversation. Wes, we were about to talk to you, but then you left. So, Wes, if you want to come back, we'll still talk to you, man. That'd be fine. I'd like to talk to you. Right now, we're going to chat with Tara. Tara, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi, Mandy's coworker. How are you
doing? Wow. Hi, Tara. How are you?
Hey, love. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Cool. I agree with Kim. I make it daily. As I would think, every morning, devote yourself to Christ. Say, God, what's your will? I'm going to live this day for you. I'm going to do my best. And I just, what I called way years ago, but I said, don't wait till the new year. If you're going to do it right away. I struggled with the sin, and I said, okay, when I'm 15, I'm going to stop. Well, it was 2 months before my 15th birthday, and I'm like, well, why wait till then? Do it now. And then also I thought, don't make it, quote-unquote, new. If you've not been good for the past X amount of years working out, what makes you think this year it's going to be okay? Why don't you strengthen your strengths and slowly work on your weaknesses? Like, if you've been Christian for 10 years, just say, you know, I'm going to get further in the Word of God and grow closer to Him. You know, just keep it more practical versus, oh, yeah, this year I'm going to have superpower and I'm going to be able to do what I said I'm going to do.
That was my New Year's
resolution. Yeah, I was about to say, man, that was mine. I was going to be like Batman this year. And now suddenly I feel all convicted that I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should work out more so I can look good in the tights first.
Oh, my dear goodness.
Let's leave the tights at home, yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. You know what, Tara, but that's great advice, and I'm picking up on a theme here from people about the idea, why wait for a year? And I actually wrote an article on that not too long ago, again, putting it in sports terms, because it does seem like as soon as we blow it, we're like, well, I'll wait until next time. Well, next time can be right then, the very next second, to start over. And the cool thing is that's exactly how God deals with us, isn't it, Tara, when it comes to when we blow something. It's like, okay, let's start over now.
Definitely.
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
That second.
Yeah, and I've always loved that about him.
Yes, don't wait to confess your sin till you're like, okay, I'm done sinning now. I'm going to do it. No, right away once you know it. So, yeah, God deals with the here and now as we should, but also preparing for the future.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Tara, for your insights. I certainly appreciate you joining us tonight here on Raw Talk.
Thank you. Have a beautiful evening.
I will. I will indeed. And you can just call me Mandy's coworker from now on.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, Tara. Well, you know, those were a lot of good points. And like you said, I kind of noticed a similar theme. And if anybody else wants to call in and share their opinions on you know, these resolutions and if they think it's a good idea or a bad idea, or even just letting us know what you made, if you need accountability for it, we strongly encourage you to find it. But if you're wanting to call in, just call in 505-338-5790 and let us know. And one thing that they were pointing out whenever they called Tara and my mom, Kim, was about starting the resolutions right then and there. And there was a verse that I actually read It's Ecclesiastes 5:4, and it says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. And that really stuck out to me. And there's a whole, that whole passage right there talks about making vows to God. But that one specifically really goes along with what they were saying. If you're going to make a vow to God, you do it right then and there. You don't wait till Monday. You don't wait for the new year. You just do what God has called you to do.
Well, that brings up the issue of, to whom exactly are we making these resolutions? You know, most of the time when we make a resolution, it seems just kind of, it's sort of ethereal, mm-hmm. just kind of out there.
It's a promise to somebody,
yeah,
but you don't know who.
Just out there somewhere. And as I was thinking about that going into this, reading some of those same verses, mm-hmm. Going through what all the verses about promises and vows that the Bible has, and over again, you know, if you make a vow to God, make sure you fulfill it. Over and over again, that's mm-hmm. repeated. You know, the one that most people remember is Jesus talking about, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to swear on anything, but you know, if you're going to do something, just keep your word.
Right.
But again, the thing always came back to, you're doing this before the Lord, mm-hmm. so why wouldn't you keep it? And it seems that resolutions and even promises, to some extent, mm-hmm. we've kind of removed from the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really think of it in terms like, yeah, this year I'm going to make a resolution to do this.
Right.
To whomever cares.
Yeah.
Well, God is so involved with our life, of course he cares. Of course mm-hmm. he wants to see us better our lives.
Right.
And of course he's the number one person who would like to keep us accountable if it's going to better our lives. And how many times do we couch it in terms of, you know what, God, I want to do this for you. And because I'm doing this for you, I suddenly have a lot of motivation to keep it.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually, that just made me think of this. I know, I believe it's in Galatians. I could be wrong, and I'm going to paraphrase it. But it talks about being, that whole passage talks about being different than the Gentiles, which it says, the Jews being different than the Gentiles. And that breaks up a good point. Are the resolutions of a Christian different from the resolutions of a non-believer? And if so, then why are we still failing most of the time mm-hmm. in these resolutions? It makes me wonder. And, you know, again, it goes back to keeping these things in your own strength is, are you just making this promise to yourself? Because I've promised myself lots of things that make me rely on my own strength, and in that I fail.
Right.
So where is it different? What is the difference?
See,
there?
You know, and I've always felt, this is my own personal conviction on this, that mm-hmm. as a Christian, as a representative, as an ambassador, as a child of the King, mm-hmm. whether or not I keep my word, keep my promise, keep my resolution, reflects on the one who I represent.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I don't know where I got this particular conviction, but I've always felt, you know, if I'm going to resolve to do anything, I darn well better keep it, because
right.
if I don't, it's going to reflect poorly on my mm-hmm. master. And
right.
I've always been, and so I, you know, people who know me well know that I don't go around just making, you know, capricious promises on a regular.
Promises.
Hey, I promise to
swear.
Do that. Oh, absolutely, positively.
Yeah.
I swear by everything I know that
this
I will do that.
This is why I like the word maybe.
Yeah.
I'm a big maybe fan.
Yeah, you know what? And if I can't do something, I'm saying, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, I just don't do that thing.
Right.
Because I figure, hey, when I say I'm going to do something, I know that my conviction is I will do everything in my power to do exactly what I said.
Right.
And if I say, you know, if I don't say I'm going to do it, well, then I don't have to worry about it. So
mm-hmm.
I usually don't say a whole lot because I'm not committed to a whole lot.
Right.
It just makes my life easier. And when it comes to resolutions, it's not something I have ever toyed around with
mm-hmm.
because of that conviction. It's like, you know, when I say I'm going to promise, vow, or otherwise resolve to do something,
mm-hmm.
it reflects poorly on my master when I don't carry that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something I like to do, but that's, you know, my personal, so I do think it's different for Christians.
Right.
I think it's absolutely different for
it
Christians.
Should be. Yes.
But that's just my, you know, I'm not going to point to chapter and verse and say, see, it says so right there.
No.
That's my own personal conviction on that.
So, well, you know, that's a good opinion, and I'd really would like to hear from other people if they think that these resolutions are good ideas, bad ideas, if their conviction is similar to yours and mine, being that we should reflect our Savior. I really want to know about it. Right now we actually have Samantha on the line. Samantha, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
You're doing great, thanks.
I was just wanting to say that, like, the middle of last year, I decided that I'd read one chapter out of the Bible and finish one book in a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sometimes would be, like, really tired because I have, like, chores and stuff to do at home. So I wouldn't go to bed till real late, and I'd be tired. And so I didn't read my Bible. But instead of giving up totally and completely, I would just make up for it the next day. Instead of reading one chapter, I'd read two.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that worked kind of well, and it's been working for me, and it's brought me a really closer to God, and it's fun, because then you feel that you haven't failed. You know, we're tired, and God understands, and just, you know, make up for it the next day. Not mm-hmm. that you can do that with everything, but...
No, of course not. But that's, you know, that's the beauty of grace right there, is that even when we mess up in the promises that we made, God is always faithful to just, you know, pick us back up on our feet and point us in the right direction again.
And and it's really nice to do that, because I've fallen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
and so it's a very comforting thought. But once you start sticking to something like that and you keep doing it, it becomes kind of a habit, but mm-hmm. in the same process, you're knowing that what you're doing is right. So it's a good habit, and it gives you a feel of joy and peace.
Well, that is very cool. I think that's going to encourage a lot of people, especially when it comes to, you know, those spiritual resolutions that we as Christians like to make more often. Thanks so much for sharing such good practical advice, Samantha.
You're welcome. You guys have a good week.
Yeah, you too. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to chime in on this topic of New Year's resolutions. Good idea, bad idea? Should Christians do this or avoid it? Have you made New Year's resolutions? Why or why not? We want to know. Why? Because that gives us something to do. 505-338-5790 to join in on tonight's conversations as we talk about New Year's resolutions and why or why we shouldn't keep them, especially as Christians. Keep them or make them. Now, one of the things I was curious about, mm-hmm. being a writer, and I'm sure you can mm-hmm. identify with this fellow writer, Mandy, I always like to define my terms.
Yes.
And so I was curious what the difference was between a promise, a vow, and a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever bothered to look that up?
You know, I hadn't until this weekend. I can't remember the exact definitions, but it was curious to see just the similarities and the differences, because ultimately you're making a promise in each one of them,
mm-hmm.
but it's the level of the promise and to whom you're making it to.
A promise, according to the dictionary, a declaration that something will or will not be done, given, or otherwise, you know, anything that goes along with that. Also, an express assurance on which expectation is to be based. I like that one because it sounds very similar to
right.
faith.
Yes.
Anyway, promises that, you know, an enemy will not win, something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
And something that has has the effect of an express assurance. Indication of what may be expected. Again, something I liked because it seemed to go hand in hand with faith. Now, a vow. A vow is a solemn promise, pledge, or personal commitment. A solemn promise made to a deity or saint committing oneself to an act, service, or condition. A solemn or earnest declaration. And what I found interesting,
mm-hmm.
Again, as a writer, I like words.
Right.
And like you can't really understand a vow without having an understanding of a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Like a promise forms the foundation of what a vow is. And then moving on to resolution, a formal expression of opinion or intention made usually after voting by a formal organization, legislator, club, or, you know, like when you make mm-hmm. a resolution, like the UN resolution.
Right.
That's one. A resolve or determination to make a firm resolution to do something. The act of resolving or determining upon an action or course of action, method, procedure. The mental state or quality of being resolved or resolute. Firmness of purpose was the one I really liked in that. Firmness mm-hmm. of purpose. So you have a vow and promise, which are very similar. You can't really make a vow without understanding what a promise is. And then you have a resolution, which is almost like the action part of
yes.
the former two.
Uh-huh.
Like you have those two, a promise and a vow, and then a resolution, the firmness of purpose is what helps you carry out the former two. I just thought it was kind of cool how they're all connected.
That is interesting because, I mean, obviously you can think and you can look at the words and go, oh, sure, they're connected, but how? You know, like you said, you can't have a vow without a promise, and the resolution is ultimately the carrying out of those things. You know, it's just really interesting to me.
Well, what occurred to me is, you know, people think, well, you know, resolution's not that serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm making a promise or anything like that. And, you know, I kind of have to say, no, I think you are, because a resolution is firmness of purpose. So if you resolve to do something, you're saying, I have firm purpose in carrying this out. Question is, well, then what are you trying to carry out?
Right.
Essentially, what you're trying to carry out is whatever it is that you promised to do.
Right. Right. And, I actually posed that question to a lot of people this week, just what the difference was between a vow and a resolution and a promise to God and how serious they thought it was. And, it was really interesting getting all their views on it. That's obviously, I'm not going to share everybody's views, but,
That could take a while.
Yes, definitely. But, if anybody out there has views on these resolutions, if you think of promises and resolutions in a different sense and you would like to share that with us, call in, let us know. It's 505-338-5790. Right now we actually have Alicia on the phone. How are you doing, Alicia?
I'm good, and actually it's Elijah.
Elijah, well,
yeah,
there you go.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
But, I guess what I wanted to say tonight, because I'm really enjoying the topic, but I think as Christians, we need to be relentless in our faith. And instead of even making promises, vows, and resolutions, we need to be, willing, or I need to be willing to follow God every day and be happy and joyful in that and not just wait for a new year to come along or a resolution of any type. Because I think in the new year resolution, like you guys were saying, it does allow you just to put it off for a whole year and kind of put it off and put it on the back burner until you see fit for that new year to come along. And really, I think a new year can be any time that you just want to drop it and start over new. But I think in God, he anews us every day, like you guys were saying. And for that, we should be willing to serve him and to want to do his will in our lives all the time. And I guess that's really what I wanted to say about that, and I just am enjoying tonight's topic.
Yeah, that's a great point, Elisha. And again, my question is, and I don't know if you've thought this through, but what are some practical ways for us to actually carry that out? I've heard several times tonight, no, this is something we should do every day. We should resolve to get in the Word more, pray more, serve God more. All fine, lofty ideas, but the pragmatic personality that I am, my question is, okay, that's great. How do we do that practically?
Being a college student and not having a lot of means about me, I want to just love people more or say, I will help you that way or put myself out there in an uncomfortable position that I normally wouldn't, and to serve God in that kind of a ministry and just put myself out there and help my friends or go that extra mile. Or, just love someone a little bit more when they're having a bad day and be there for them and listen instead of talking, and be there and just show people, God's light in a very simple and effective way without, having to make a resolution or give money or go places. Just I think being a light for Christ and just showing his love and just being there. And being an open heart for others to hear and fall on is a very pragmatic and practical way, at least in my life. And I was just baptized today, and I had been saying
congratulations.
No.
Awesome.
I've been saying no to God for a while, and I got tired of it, I said yes, and it's been the best thing in my life, and I just want to say yes for the rest of my days. All the breath that I have, every day, I want it to glorify God and to say yes to him and be relentless in my faith.
That's awesome.
That's very cool, dude. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing tonight. Hey. Congratulations on being baptized. That's
definitely
really, really schwe.
Yeah, it was an awesome thing. And God bless you guys. I love M88. It's an excellent station, and it helps me every day in my walk. So thank you guys. Have a great
God
night.
God bless
okay?
you, too.
All right, take care, Elisha.
All right, bye.
And if you'd like to chime in like Elisha just did, 505-338-5790 as we talk about New Year's resolutions. Good idea, bad idea? Should Christians do this or should we avoid it? Why or why not? How much should we get involved with it? Is a resolution different for a Christian than it is for a non-believer? Mm-hmm. 505-338-5790 to share your opinion. Maybe you just want to share what your resolution is so the entire state of New Mexico can hear.
And hold you accountable.
And then you'll be like at some grocery store and someone say, hey, how's that going for you?
Right.
Because they'll recognize your voice from
and first
being
name
over the radio on, yeah, okay, well, maybe that was stretching. As I was researching this tonight, Mandy, going through the Bible, this is something I've always been struck by, is how serious God takes this whole issue of vows. You looked up some of these verses as well. Numbers 30, verse 2, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word but do everything he said, which, says it all right there. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 21 through 23. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. That one always struck me pretty heavy right there. You make a vow, you better fulfill it. If you don't, you're guilty of sin.
Right.
And that could bring up the whole question of how seriously do we take sin. Going on to verse 22, but if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty, which I always thought was kind of interesting, can add some fuel to the fire. Like, that's why we don't make vows,
yeah.
Because it only leads to trouble. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth. Going back to the idea, you know, anytime we make a vow or a promise or a resolution as a Christian, who are we ultimately making it to?
Mm-hmm.
To the Lord.
Right.
If he is master of your life, I believe that is exactly what happens. And I like how it phrases it there in the NIV. Whatever your lips utter. Going back to the idea, you better be pretty careful with what you have to say.
Well, and that brings up a really good point. I'm actually going to throw out one more verse.
Yeah,
in Leviticus 19:12, it says, do not swear falsely by my name. This is God, of course, addressing people. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And something that I really noticed, I mean, people can surely dedicate, you know, losing 10 pounds to the Lord and say, you know, I'm doing this because I want to be healthy. And they can glorify the Lord in that. But if you're going to go out on a limb and say, the Lord told me to do this, you sure as well better do it.
Yeah.
It makes it very clear in every one of these verses that we're talking about. And I'm going to be, I'm actually going to go as far to say that I'm, you know, going to be firm in that because it's biblical. If you make a promise, you better keep it.
Yep.
Especially if you are putting God into the mix and saying, you know, God commanded this of me. But I actually, something that struck me as I was driving down here, and I don't know why the idea of this came into my head, but whenever God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son, he calls him to do so, and Abraham is faithful in pursuing that, what God called him to do. But then as soon as God saw his faithfulness, it changed. And I don't know why that came to my head, but that was it just really struck me. It was interesting because Abraham made this commitment to do what the Lord called him to do, and then the Lord called him away from that right there at the very end. I don't know. What do you think about that, Yo?
I think that change is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably why some people don't enjoy resolutions, because mm-hmm. they don't think change is a good
right.
thing. And insofar as the thing with Abraham, one of the things I've always noticed about the Bible is, as odd as it may sound, mm-hmm. Aside from what Christ did on the cross, usually God waits for us to make the first move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, you know, I want to see you do this,
mm-hmm.
and then see what I'll do.
Right.
You know, and I think that was the case with Abraham when he's sacrificing his son.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if you'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now watch what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
And then, you know, going to Joshua crossing into the Promised Land, you know, when they're crossing the River Jordan. I don't know if you remember this, but when they're carrying the ark, they were supposed to step into the water, and the water was going to be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, no, did you hear what that said? They had to step into the water, and then it was
going to
be stopped.
At
that time, the water was at flood stage. And for people who have been to Israel and seen some of the banks of the Jordan,
mm-hmm.
you're not, like, wading into a little kiddie pool.
No.
When you step into the Jordan, you step into the Jordan in some places.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people believe that's where they were. They were in a place where they're stepping into the Jordan. When they stepped in, it's like going up to thigh deep.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they step in, flood stage, water's moving rapidly. They had to make the first move,
right.
and then God stopped the water. And I think that's something that just happens all throughout the Bible. We move first, then God moves after he sees the fact that we're willing to trust him to move.
He gives us opportunities to do so. He
yeah.
opens doors constantly so that we can move in that direction, which has always been amazing to me.
One of the things that came up to me, and by the way, if you guys want to jump in on this conversation, please do. We still got you know, lots of time left for you to chime in with your opinion, 505-338-5790. If you'd like to offer your opinion about New Year's resolutions, good idea, bad idea, should we make them, should we not make them? Let us know what you think. Maybe share what your resolution is and how you're going to keep it, 505-338-5790. And again, to add fuel to the fire of maybe not making resolutions,
mm-hmm.
do you remember the story from Judges chapter 11? When with Jephthah, I don't know how to say his name. Anyway, starting in Judges chapter 11, verse 30, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, if you give me the Ammonites into my hand, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering.
Mm-hmm.
So this dude goes and fights. He wins.
Right.
All's well. He comes home. When Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter? dancing to the sound of tambourines. She was only a child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, "Oh, my daughter, you have made me miserable and wretched because I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break." And I won't tell you how the story ends. It's actually kind of tragic. But two things struck me about that. One, the guy kind of made a hasty vow.
Yes.
In pursuit of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times do we do the exact the bargain thing? God, if you only help me with this, I promise, blah, 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 blah. The difference is this guy was, he like, I made a vow, I can't break it.
Right.
He took that serious. We commonly don't. But the point was, he made a really hasty vow and he had to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just demonstrated to me yet again how seriously God takes this whole issue of vows. Not like, you know, God didn't say, "Hey, I know you didn't really mean it. All right, you know, I'll let you off the hook right. this one time." You know, mm-hmm. not a big deal. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. He made a vow to the Lord. God takes that serious.
Yeah.
And it went on to be a rather tragic story because he didn't think about what he was saying when he made his vow.
Now, given, I mean, we do have a faithful God. Which is, I think, the biggest reason why it is so important that when you make a vow to God, you keep it, because he is so faithful in the vows that he has kept to us. He really is.
Yep.
Here's the other side of it, though. If you have broken a vow, if you have messed up in certain ways, even though you made that promise, God is still gracious. He is full of forgiveness and totally willing to give it should we ask for it. So, I mean, that is the other side of it. But, you know, as you were saying that, I was reminded of that, you know, old tale about selling your soul to the devil. You never think about it in that way. People think about it as, you know, I want to be the greatest guitar player ever, so I'm going to sell my soul to the devil so that I know how to play this guitar. That's what you see in movies. But you don't realize, I mean, people see that as severe. You don't realize the severity of actually setting yourself to do something and promising God that you're going to do it. And it's such a serious thing. I mean, it's different, of course, in aspect.
Well, the Bible says that we were bought at a price.
Mm-hmm.
So technically speaking, we were sold.
Yeah.
We were sold to God.
Yeah.
And I don't see how that's any less serious than selling your soul to the devil.
No.
It obviously has better consequences.
Yeah, definitely better.
It's a much better situation, uh-huh. obviously. But still, you know, we think about
But it's still a covenant. It's still a commitment.
Right. And we think of that whole cliche with the sellers. Ooh, that's serious.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. I'll do it. Hey, God, I promise to do this. Oh, sorry, I messed up.
Yeah.
And we just skippy-doodle along. Not to make it sound like this is all doom and gloom.
No.
Because as Samantha was pointing out, when we are faithful mm-hmm. and carrying out the things that we have said that we'll do for God,
mm-hmm.
guess who's going to be faithful back to us? And we will be blessed immensely.
Right.
You know, you look at being faithful in the tithe, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not here to say, hey, you're going to get rich if you tithe.
No.
Not at all. What I have seen is that people who tithe are more at peace.
Mm-hmm.
They're more secure.
Mm-hmm.
They're more content.
Mm-hmm.
They're more joyful. Not necessarily always better financially, but those other four things count for a lot in
Definitely.
A world where a lot of that doesn't exist.
Well, if you can have peace in even a trial that is a blessing from God, that peace that comes from the Lord is so much different than just being happy about something.
Mm-hmm.
But that I've noticed that peace feels so much different and so much better than just being happy that you're able to pay the bills. Because you can be happy about paying the bills and not have peace.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have peace and not be able to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this eternal joy that you get when you become a Christian that can only come from God. I mean, that's the only place to find it. And, you know, with tithing, I've seen the same thing. I've seen financial blessings come out of that too, that mm-hmm. I've seen as miracles almost. And it's really interesting to see, and again, in the story of Abraham and Isaac, God blessed Abraham for his faithfulness completely. I mean, he allowed him to keep his son. That's a big deal, just to see how God works when we least expect it sometimes.
505-338-5790 if you want to jump in. Running out of time here, so if you don't want to, you know, have us dominate the conversation, get your opinion in while you still can. 505-338-5790. Time to put you on the spot, Mandy.
Uh-oh.
Did you make any resolutions?
I did not make an actual resolution. I know it comes at a strange time because it came right before the new year.
Okay.
But it wasn't actually a New Year's resolution. It wasn't something I thought about in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like a couple people have already said, I really have I just began to think about how much time I was spending in the Word, in God's Word. and how much time I was spending in other areas of my life, whether it was even with writing sometimes or listening to the radio or just any of those little things. Because I would have days where I would have days where I would get home and I was too tired, so I sat on the couch and watched a movie. And, you know, my eyes were open the whole time I watched the movie, and then I went to bed. And I began to realize, you know, if my eyes are open that whole time and I can focus on what's going on in a movie, why can't I focus and put my heart towards something that that is going to draw me deeper to Christ, you know? And so I know it came right before the new year. It actually came mid-December, but right before the new year. But it was more of a commitment that I made to God for the sake of getting to know him more.
It still counts.
Well, not exactly.
No, it still counts.
This is, and that's where my personal opinion comes in on New Year's resolutions.
It still counts.
But
mid-December, before the New Year, still
hey,
counts.
Hey, I did not make it on New Year's Eve, and I did not wait until New Year's Eve either.
Okay.
So there you go. It was not a New Year's resolution. I started
it
right
counts.
Away.
No, that still counts.
But, you know, and that, again, that was something that I think, and it's not only with that, I would love people to call in and let us know about the resolutions, whether it's, you know, reading the Bible and praying more or you know what, losing 10 pounds or watching football less. Yo.
Hey, you know what? That would be really easy to do in about 3 weeks. So that resolution
doesn't count. That doesn't count. But, you know, if people
A bunch of guys right now are thinking, oh, that's right. Oh, I could resolve to do that, and I'd be successful.
I'd follow that one to the T.
That would be easy
awesome.
To do. Sweet.
But really, I mean,
I will start that on February 1st.
Yo,
is that your
new month resolution?
No, because that's when the Super Bowl is, so that's when you can actually
Ooh.
Keep it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So that would be cheating.
Kinda.
Oh, okay. But, well, you know, really, if anybody thinks that, I don't know, I just, you know, we've heard from some people about resolutions. Really, I think overall we've heard that it's a good idea as long as it's committed to the Lord and as long as you have a way to follow through with it. It is kind of the overall feedback that I'm getting from people, and kind of that's my heart as well. But if you have a different opinion, same opinion, or just want to share your heart on the matter, just call us at 505-338-5790. I know we don't have a lot of time left. But what about you, Yo? Do you have a New Year's resolution?
You know, I did make a New Year's resolution this year while I was up with my family in Colorado. My dad has Parkinson's, and it's one of those things where you lose someone slowly.
Yes.
They're not quite the same person, which is tough to see. And there's actually been, interestingly enough, a lot of health problems in our family, just weird ones. But some of the ways that they've been able to get around that is getting back to more of a, I don't know what you want to call it, a godly diet, eating the way God intended, you know, just being overall smarter in the way that we eat. And my sister-in-law, through some of her dietary research and whatnot to help with her own problems, found some research that pointed to the fact that when you take wheat and sugar out of the diet of someone who has Parkinson's, that they have seen significant improvement in the symptoms of Parkinson's. And, you know, we were trying to explain to that to my dad. And one of the things that occurred to me is like, you know what? That's a huge commitment. No wheat, no sugar.
Right.
Doesn't matter who you are or what kind of disease that you may have. That's tough to do. And to kind of show some solidarity, you know, with my father and, like, you know, we can do this together. You know, I resolved to cut out sugar from my diet. Now, I'm not being like a sugar Nazi, you know, checking
right.
Is there sugar in this? You know, like,
in this loaf of bread?
Yeah, right. You know, but, you know, all the really obvious things, and this is where it got kind of funny. You know, everyone knows my love for chocolate. Well, obviously, chocolate's out. And I'm not a big sweet person beyond that, but, you know, not having any sodas and just changing those types of things. So it's kind of a radical shift. What was funny is when my wife was trying to explain it to my kids, she was explaining to my youngest daughter, yeah, Daddy's not going to eat any chocolate. She laughed. She's like, she's 3 years old, and she already, Daddy's not going to have any more chocolate. Like, no, we're serious about that. And so, you know, it was a few months back we talked to Dr. Hawkins about everyday addictions. And that was at a point where my heart really changed towards the whole thing of being addicted to chocolate.
Yeah.
That's stupid. I'm not going to have anything control my life, least of all some little pet addiction.
Right.
And so that was already starting to change. And then, you know, talking to my dad and thinking about some of the things that he could do with his diet to help his health. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to do some of those same things with mine. Now, do I have a plan to carry this out? My loving wife is there to, you know, slap my hand when I, just out of habit, reach for that chocolate. No, yeah, I'll have that. Slap. No, you're not doing that. Oh, that's right. Because, you know, it's mm-hmm. so habitual mm-hmm. That it's kind of hard to change. And I was counting on my coworkers, but the first time I mentioned it, Steve-O offered me some cookies. So I'm not really relying on him. Like, yeah, I'm going to cut sugar out of my diet. And I gave, like, this whole heart-wrenching story. Mm-hmm. My dad has Parkinson's, blah, blah. It's like, oh, would you like some cookies? Like, that's the kind of support I'm looking
Steve-O
for. Thanks.
Steve-O's awesome. Well, hey, if it helps you out any, I got this random bit of information from my mom the other day about M&M's. And this goes along with, you know, you love football, you love chocolate, so I'm going to throw the two together and say that I heard somewhere that if you have one M&M, in order to work that one M&M off, you have to run the length of a football field. If you have a peanut M&M, make it 3 times.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
I used to eat a lot of M&M's, too.
I know, me too. Well, you can just give all your M&M's to me, because I don't care.
You know what? One of the hardest things I've had to do so far this new year, one of my coworkers was very kind, gave me some M&M's. And I got to eat some of them before the new year started. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, happy. And I forgot some of them here at work.
Oh.
So I came back after the new year, and there they are sitting on my desk. I forgot about those. no one's really going to know. It'd be the last time. Not going down that road. And I came, like, running back here. Yeah. Hey, Daze, will you eat these?
Yeah, eat them fast. Put them in your
eat
mouth.
Eat them right now.
You know, actually, you just, that totally struck me, how you said, you know, that thought runs through your mind. Well, nobody's really going to know.
God would
know. Again, and that's the beauty of if you make a commitment, making it to the Lord. And not only is it so serious, but it also gives you this little reminder that, you know, even if nobody else sees what you do or what you eat, God is right there and he knows.
Yes, he does. He knows
that
all
extra,
the time.
It's that extra bit of motivation to keep that.
As long as we can keep that in mind. So, here we are almost at the end of the show, Mandy. One more video clip to post tomorrow. Our first show of the new year with the new Raw Talk with the new co-host, Mandy. Your thoughts on how you thought it went? Are you going to want to keep coming back and hanging out with me on this?
No. I'm just kidding.
I was afraid that was going to happen.
This was a really good show. I love that everybody called in and just shared their hearts with us about resolutions and their resolutions and how they think the best ways to keep them were. And it was really, and overall, I just think it was a great show.
Well, I definitely had fun, and I certainly appreciate everyone calling in and sharing their thoughts, and I'm glad you're on board, Mandy.
Thanks, yo.
It's going to be an awesome new year. Now, next week is going to be kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday, I don't remember if it's the start or the end of it, Sanctity of Human Life Week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to tackle one of those hot-button issues that everyone loves to hate to love to talk about.
Yes.
As we talk a little bit about pro-life, pro-choice, abortion, and so on and so forth. But as you would expect on a show like Raw Talk, we probably won't approach it quite the way you're expecting.
Aha, get ready.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then the week after that, you know, it's kind of a heavy issue. So I was thinking, let's kind of mix things up a little bit and take a break from that. One of TV's biggest phenomenons, Lost, is starting up here very, very soon. So we're going to talk with Dylan Burrows, who wrote this book, What Can Be Found in Lost, where he kind of connects you know, some of the things that happened in this TV show and does a really surprisingly good job of connecting them back to the gospel. His book, What Can Be Found in Lost, is really meant for non-believers. I was reading through it. It's like the basic gospel message. Hmm. Hey, if you saw this episode, this is what it points to in the Bible. Here's how you can get saved over and over again.
Well, you know, I know you know about Lost. And the thing is I have never watched Lost. I think I turned it on once and turned it off right away because I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, it's
so we're going to need all of you Lost fans to call in that week because I won't know really anything other than what I see in the book.
Well, the bigger issue really is how much should we connect pop culture to the gospel? I mean, is there a balance? Can we go too far in trying to find a gospel message in every TV show out there? You know, I engage in a lot of pop culture myself, reviewing movies and doing video games. And that's a question that I'm constantly asking of myself. You know, where's the balance with this?
Are you over-spiritualizing
this thing? I don't want to over-spiritualize. Right. And then, you know, it just makes it, an excuse to go out and do that.
Exactly.
And that's what we...
Exactly.
Well, that's... There you go.
We're already... It's going to be an exciting show.
That show is going to be... Yeah, so that's kind of what's coming up here for the rest of January. And we got a few things planned out for February, right?
Yes, we do.
What do we got?
Well, if I remember correctly, we have one on what's wrong with the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's kind of a curious topic because we're Christians. The church should be perfect, right?
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of people laughing right now.
Unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately. So really, that one's really interesting to me because I have a lot of views on that. Just what's wrong with the church in this day and age and in America, especially.
And how can we get it to be better?
Yeah, exactly. Other than that, I know that we have one coming up on relationships right around everybody's
favorite holiday, Friday the
13th. Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, no. Exactly. Friday. Maybe not single people's favorite holiday, but Valentine's. So it'll be the day after Valentine's.
I don't see why it couldn't be a single person's favorite holiday.
It's singles. I actually used to really love it. I really, really did whenever I was single.
And now you're all cynical about it?
I'm not cynical about it, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to this Valentine's.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. Well, we got a lot of good stuff planned for you guys, and we're going to tackle some other really tough issues all throughout the year as well that we're working on. It's nice to have Mandy on board. It's nice to have everyone who called in tonight. Definitely. Who called in. Thank you so much for doing that and getting this new year of Raw Talk off to a good start. I think we're off to a good start.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Yeah, and I know next week a lot of people will be kind of otherwise preoccupied with NFL playoffs, but hopefully you'll still want to tune in.
It's going to be a good topic.
Yeah, just kind of catch some updates on the game, while you listen to Raw Talk. I totally understand that you want to know what the score is, but this issue of the sanctity of human life is one that we really can't ignore. And I'm not just talking about abortion here,
no.
All right? It's bigger than that, and there's more right. to it than that. Rather than just being known that, hey, we are against abortion. Mm-hmm. As we've said so many times on this show, Christians should be known more for what they're for, not just what they're against. And this is the poster boy issue for that very problem.
Well, and I encourage people, maybe if you, and this goes for any of the shows, but even next week, if you don't agree with the other people who are calling in, if you don't agree with us, honestly,
we don't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
cut it off.
Kidding.
Turn off the show. Don't ever listen. No, I want to hear it. Yeah. I really want to know. That's one of the greatest things about the show is we have the ability to challenge the thinking process. And if one of you guys can call in and challenge us, that's awesome. That would be an answer to prayer, to be honest.
I'm always willing to grow.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Willing to change. And one verse I wanted to leave you guys with as we start the new year, Luke 1:37. For nothing is impossible with God. One of my favorite all-time New Year's verses that I've ever come across. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we'll see you again next week here on Raw Talk on M88.